Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, are you ready? Pop quiz. How much is nothing worth? Silly question. Nothing, right? Okay, how much is everything worth? Again, silly question. Everything, right? Or so it would seem. Zeros are worth nothing, but we would never give up those nothings when they appear on our $20 bill or our $100 bill, right? Since God's ways are not our ways, nor are His thoughts our thoughts, nothing is always worth nothing, nor is everything really worth everything. In fact, God wants to give you the nothing that is everything in Christ. God replaces the nothingness of self with the everything of Himself. Now let me say that again. In Christ, God replaces the nothingness of self with the everything of Himself, the very righteousness of Christ and all of its benefits. And we strive to have it all, everything. Having it all in our world focuses on one's life, possessions, experiences, and accomplishments, while giving little thought to one's relationship with God. A beer commercial several years ago asked, "Who says you can't have it all?" Well, we'd like to think that. When push comes to shove, we would like to think that people would admit how exaggerated is the claim that every or anything earthly could supply life's everything. The fact that the claim is even made for beer, of all things, shows that the human heart truly does look for the fullness of life in the stuff of this world. The ones having it all in Paul's world, or trying to, were the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers took great confidence in the flesh. Their achievements under the law, both the law of Moses and their own invented embellishments of it. Hear Paul's warning in Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the real circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. You see, Paul shows how, if that were truly reason for confidence, he had matched and surpassed them. Paul says, if anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he goes on with that long list. The attitude of our day seems to be much different than that from the Judaizers. And you might be thinking now, come on, Pastor, be relevant. Okay, Paul's world was more conscientiously religious. Even if their religions were false or erring, people knew they were accountable to the law. Whether God's true law, natural or revealed, or the invented laws of religious man. To them, having it all focused not so much on material possessions and experiences, like it does in our world, but on one's relationship with God. Still, it was generally presumed that if you were right with God, material blessings and earthly experiences would follow. Now, it is true. Our world is more secular. More and more people sense little, if any, accountability to God. Materialism and experience have become our gods, even though we do not have the honesty to name them as such. So having it all in terms of our world is less overtly religious, but both worlds, in the end, are really only focused on self. Paul's world, and specifically the Judaizers, focused on self-righteousness, how the self could earn God's favor. Our world focuses on gratifying the self through materialism and experience. Nothing's new under the sun. It's the same since the Tower of Babel. We continually make it all about ourselves. See, the reality is that in Paul's world and ours, having it all is never enough. In terms of worldly possessions or experiences, having it all is never enough, which means that all is not everything. Now, how many toys did we as children think we needed to have? And where are they now? And how many fashionable clothing items did high schoolers just have to have? Acid wash jeans, parachute pants. That's my generation. Poodle skirts. Maybe that's your generation. How many fashionable clothing items did we as high schoolers just have to have? And where are they now? How often do we as adults convince ourselves that this car, that house, and such an experience will make life complete? Only to learn, sometimes very quickly, that we had set our hearts on things not capable of delivering lasting contentment. In terms of human righteousness, earning God's favor by our own goodness, Paul's day or ours, to think that we have it all is a dangerous self-delusion. Witness the Judaizers and Pharisees, who molded and recast the law to convince themselves that they could keep it. Witness Paul, who as a Pharisee excelled in righteousness when judged from a human viewpoint. Witness the Holy Scriptures. All our righteous deeds are but polluted garments. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Whether having it all means materialism and experience or personal merit before God, having it all is never nearly enough. And that, my friends, is good news. It's good news because God gives us the loss of everything so that our nothingness, so that in our nothingness, we can know the all-sufficiency of Christ. Christ Jesus had made us his own and caused us to suffer the loss of all things. On the road to Damascus, Christ graciously caused Paul to know him and the power of his resurrection and to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, even the death on a cross. And in baptism, dying and rising with Christ, we are united to the power of the resurrection and joined to the fellowship of his sufferings, not as payment for sin. Christ did that, but at the hand of the world, where Christ is still on trial. Emptied of oneself, of every claim of mine, grace fills us with the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. We know his resurrection power. We know the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Thus, by grace, our nothingness becomes everything. From nothing comes everything. Yes, we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we will be celebrating the Reformation at the end of this month. And on that day, we will sing with Luther and all other Lutherans around the world his classic hymn. And take they our life goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. Will we mean it? Faith will. Faith hears in these words the baptismal call to die anew and be emptied of self so that Christ is all in all. In him, the kingdom ours remaineth. As the hymn ends, amen. From nothing comes everything. So let us cry out, let us sing a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen.